Well, we've been working through the book of John, slowly through the miracles of the cross leading up to Passover. And last week we looked at water into wine. And is that what we looked at, or is that 2 weeks ago? Healing of the official's son, sorry. We were looking at that. And so for me, this is something new because I have never preached through the miracles to the cross at Easter time. So it's been very cool to look at the Lord in those ways. The passage that we're looking at this morning is in John chapter 6. It's the fourth miracle that Jesus performs. It's the feeding of the 5,000. Now, many of us have read about feeding of the 5,000 many different times. We know that story. We've heard it very many times. It's been preached about many times. But I trust what the Lord has put in my heart and where He's guided my thoughts this week could be rewarding to us this morning. John 6, beginning at verse 1 and going to verse 15. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following Him because they saw the signs that He was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with His disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When He looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward Him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test Him, for He Himself knew what He was going to do. Philip answered Him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, He told His disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that He had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take Him by force to make Him king, He withdrew again to the mountain by Himself. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of His word this morning. So we have the feeding of the 5,000. This miracle is recorded in each of the Gospels, and they all have somewhat kind of a different perspective on it, but John probably is the most different. Matthew and Mark, and I think even Luke, talk about the idea that Jesus, when the disciples notice that all these people are in need of food, they say, "Well, Jesus, send them to the towns around so that they can get food." But the reality of the situation was, with such a great throng of people, we think there's only 5,000. But in truth, there's probably more like 15,000 people. Why? Because you count one man. When they count, when they were counting, it makes mention in Scripture that the 5,000 were men. Didn't count the women and the children. And if you take into account one woman for every man and one child for every family, which is minimal, that comes to an account of what? 15,000 people. So you got 5,000 or 15,000. What is that to God? 5,000 or 15,000? The miracle is what? 2 fish, 5 loaves. feeds 5,000. So 2 plus 5 equals 5,000. How's that for math? Right? Does that work for you? If you came and told your mathematician, I got a problem for you I need to solve, what's 2 plus 5? How much does that equal? They're going to say 7. And you write 5,000. You're going to say, you're nuts. Right? And you're going to go, no. It's an impossibility, but it's possible. Because Jesus did it. Multiplication, right? So we got this happening. Jesus has been doing miracles since the last miracle. He's been doing miracles everywhere. And he's been crossing over the sea back and forth. People are following him. People are knowing he's doing these things. Who is this Jesus? What is he all about? Could he be the Messiah? No, he's a prophet. No, he's false. But people are following. The religious leaders are getting upset because Jesus is doing these things. And the last one he did what? He told the man to get up, take his mat, and walk on the Sabbath. So they're right angry. He's taking away our power, prestige. Maybe even people are going to him instead of going to the temple. Right? So we got this situation rolling. And Jesus is gathering more and more followers. And we've got this throng of 5,000 people that are seeking where Jesus has gone. And so they see him, and he goes up on the mountain, and they're following him because they want to hear what he has to say. But more so, they're what? It says here, and many times, you come and follow me, not because of who I am, but because of what I'm doing. The powers, the miracles, the healings. And now Jesus is going to do something else today. He's going to feed 5,000. He's going to feed 5,000. And it's not just going to be crumbs, right? What happens at the end when the disciples, they're serving. Can you imagine the disciples? Get this, right? They're serving. They're handing out bread and fish. Well, I should be getting to the end, right? And it's just bread and fish keeps on coming out. I can't imagine it. But they have 12 baskets full of bread and fish at the end, remaining that they collect up. And what is one of the key things that it talks about in this scripture passage is that Jesus gave them not just what they needed, but what they wanted. Ooh. Is that a truth that reverberates throughout history? Jesus will give us what we need, but here he also gave them what they wanted. Now, is he going to give you $1 million? I don't know. We talked about that last week. It depends on your motivation. Is it just for you? Well, probably, I don't think that's going to happen. But he gives them what they wanted, and they were what? Fully satisfied. It wasn't just, okay, here you go. You know how, maybe you go to a funeral. I had a funeral here on Friday, right? And you go to the funeral, and it's like there's little snacky things there, right? And when you go there, you grab a few things and that kind of stuff. Does it truly satisfy you? No, you're kind of like, we'll go out for a meal afterwards. It's not supposed to be a big meal to satisfy you, but, you know, kind of tides you over. Jesus provides everything, fully satisfied, what the people need, what they want. Okay? So that's our picture here. So the thing is this. I want us to focus on the boy. Who is the boy in this story? We don't know. It just says he's a boy. But what does the boy have? He has got food, right? He has the 2 fish and the 5 loaves. The matter of the fact is that we don't know who the boy is. Other than the fact that he has food, he's insignificant. It doesn't matter. Right? Have you ever felt like you do not matter? Have you ever felt like it does not matter what you do, or things are too far gone for you to do anything to make a difference about a situation? Or whatever you may have to contribute would not make a hill of beans difference to anyone or anything. That boy that's coming along, he's got his lunch, right? It's for him. Did he go out that day when he prepared his lunch and go, this is going to be significant today? Did he do that? No. It's just his lunch. I'm going to work hard today, probably work all day, and I'm going to have that, and it's going to be keep me going for the rest of the day. He didn't have any grand visions. He wasn't anybody in particular. Because he's not mentioned in the story as having any significance other than he's carrying 5 loaves and 2 fish. Have we ever been the boy in our life? Have we ever been that person that everybody walks past, looks past, doesn't pay attention to? Insignificant, right? Not a person of importance. Not held in esteem by anybody. We just go on and live our day. Not expecting anything big, anything to matter. We just do. Maybe we're facing a mountain. I like how we use, you know, symbols for trouble. Mountain, storms, whirlwinds, right? But what is the mountain that you're facing and it won't move? Right? What am I, what can I do in regards to this Mount Everest before me? Ever had anything seem so big before you that you just don't know how to tackle it? Don't know how to go about and solve something? Or even begin to make a dent in something? It's just so far out there and so beyond your means, so beyond your ability that you just give up. That you don't even try. I found myself in many situations as a father, as a husband, and as a pastor. I felt helpless with a dying wife, unethical and ungodly institutional decisions and practices, and impotent words to encourage, build up, and give hope. I felt that. As a pastor, there's been many times where I've stood before a congregation, this congregation, and felt the words that I have to give, what do they matter? I'm just like you. We're people. We're human beings. We get discouraged. We get disillusioned. We're joyful. We're happy. But there's times where it's just like, does what I do matter? Does what I say matter? Right? That's why we have a community of believers around us. That's why we have a community of persons together so that we can say what? Yes, you do matter. Yes, what you say, what you do, how you love, how you care, how you reach out, how you build one another up, how you pray for one another matters. Amen? Does it matter? I've seen and experienced the damage of unwise choices and been in a position of helplessness and hopelessness. And the drum beats on. I've prayed and sought solace and solution in the Lord Jesus only to hear silence. Dare I even say the situation continues or becomes even worse. The impossible evolves to the improbable. How do you continue on? What difference can I make? Do I really matter? Does it really matter what can be done? Maybe even, does God see me? Does God care? Of course, the answer is God does see us. God does care. He does hear us. And yes, we do matter because we're made in His image and His Son died on the cross for us. We know that to be true. And yes, I can make a difference. Just as the boy presented his 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, our little can help make a big difference in the hands of God. Amen? Can your little, can my little make a difference in the hands of God? The thing of biggest impact about the story of the feeding of the 5,000 is that nobody went away hungry. They were all satisfied, like we talked about. The Bible records that everyone had everything that they wanted and ate until they were satisfied. The picture is not just of starving off, of staving off hunger for an hour and going back to the cupboard, but one being fully, deeply fulfilled and slipping into a comatose state until the next Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner. Right? Plain and simple, Jesus met the emergency. Nobody starved. Everybody was fed and abundantly stuffed. And this Jesus, he foreknew what he was going to do, Scripture says. John 6:5-6. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. So Jesus does do that. He does test us. Tested Philip. What are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about that situation? Jesus saw it coming. Jesus knew whatever it was going to be coming. And he's asking the question. What are you going to do about that? How are you going to handle that? Right? What Jesus foreknew, what he was going to do is a demonstration of the providence of God. Providence meaning God's continuing action by which he preserves and guides all creation to his intended purposes. Okay? Providence meaning God's continuing action by which he preserves and guides all creation to his intended purposes. In Latin, the word is providere. I don't know how to pronounce Latin. From which we get the word providence, that literally means to foresee. Providence is to foresee. So literally, God foresees all, guides all, and preserves all for his intended purposes. You agree with that? Okay. Nehemiah 9:6, and Ezra said, "You are the Lord, you alone. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. To all of them you give life, and the host of heaven worships you." Providence, provision. Colossians 1:17, he is before all things, and by him all things hold together. Amen. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Being Jesus' children, we can never be separated from him by his preserving hand. We are kept. John 10:27-30, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish ever. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. We can never be separated. Being Jesus' children, we are not spared from danger or trial, but we're preserved within it. Read Matthew 24:15-31, 1 Peter 1:6-7, and 1 Peter 4:12-13. What did we read this morning? We read Psalm 91. What is Psalm 91 all about? Providence, preservation. God provides. Psalm 91:14, those who love me, I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. Verse 15:16, when they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. The people following Jesus were preserved in trial. We, the people following Jesus, are preserved in trial. They were in need of food. There was not enough supply, so Jesus provided by his providence. He already knew what he was going to do. The people had no need to worry. Jesus already knew, but they didn't know that. Did the disciples have the faith to believe in Jesus? That was the issue. Did they have the faith to believe in Jesus? Because Jesus has been going around now with them, and they've been following him, and he's been doing miracles. He's been changed the water into wine. He saved the official's son, right? He told the man to get up and walk on the Sabbath day. He's done these miracles and many others already. And his quest in this is, do the disciples believe? Because if you don't believe in somebody, are you going to follow them? No. So Jesus is challenging the disciples. Philip, what are we going to do about this situation? Right? And in the other accounts, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus says and records, you do something about it. You, Philip, you do something about it. You, Andrew, you do something about it. Peter, James, you guys, come up with a plan to do something about this. So what do they come up with? That's the question, right? Well, Jesus, we all took a vote, and we think you should send them to all the towns around to get their food. Or, you know what? We counted our money in our sack. Yeah, we don't have enough. Because, you know, that would be a half a year's wages to feed all these people, and they would just get like a crumb. To get the massive problem that they're facing. Andrew, Peter. Andrew, brother Peter, comes up with an idea, right? I wonder if he went through the crowd and he sees this boy holding this lunch. This insignificant boy that nobody's probably paid attention to except for his mom and dad. But this insignificant boy that has this lunch that he made, probably thinking far ahead of time, right? This might be a long day. So I'm going to bring a lunch. What do we not hear or read of? Anybody coming forward and going, I've got some stuff here, right? We hear about this boy. Andrew goes, there's this boy, here he is, and he's got 2 fish and 5 loaves. Is that a possibility? Right? Jesus, is that a possibility? I don't know what you can do with it, but this is what we've got. Does God make do with what you and I have? Does he? What you have to bring to the table, what we have to bring to the table, and what we can offer, does God use that? Sure, he does. And he can multiply it. He can multiply it. Those people were preserved in trial. They were in need of food. They didn't have enough supply. Jesus provided. Did the disciples have the faith to believe in Jesus? That was the issue. Jesus would use this miracle to point to the reality of his divinity. Would the disciples believe? Would the people believe? Will we believe? Just as Jesus did not desert the hungry 5,000, he will not desert us in our physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. Amen? So where is God's providence? Lynette and I, when we got married in that, and we had Taylor and Michaela, and then all of a sudden Jordan was on the way, right? And we were in a situation where it's like, okay, I've got an Acura sport coupe, and she has a little, what did Lynette drive? I'm trying to remember. Little car anyways. And we're going, how are we going to fit two kids, plus a baby seat, plus ourselves in what we've had got? So we needed a new vehicle, right? So financially, purchasing a new used vehicle was not a possibility. I was stressed about the growing issue, but Lynette was at ease that God would provide. Well, a week later, God provided. Prime Minister Chrétien sent me an unexpected check, which provided for a new used Pontiac Transport. You know what those Pontiac Transports look like? The Galileo off of Star Trek. Shuttlecraft. It was like a Hoover vacuum machine, right? We got one of those. And it was great. It was awesome. It was awesome until a month later that I got a bill from Mr. Chrétien for the exact amount. And I was flabbergasted. You know the truth. If it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true, right? That's why I held on to the check for a month and a half afterwards and inquired at the government if this indeed was our money or if there had been a mistake made. They assured me, no, it was your money. There was no mistake. They said the money was owed. Unbeknownst to Lynette and I, the government had done some creative accounting in regards to our child tax benefit. And they switched the benefit from me to Lynette. So basically, they took all the money that they had given to me and wrote a check and gave it to Lynette. And then they sent me the bill. That's what happened. Right? To say the long story short, I chatted with the government, explained the situation, made repayment arrangements, and I had an interest-free car loan from the government. That worked. Like, how does God work that, right? Even in the midst of trial and tribulation, God will extend his providence and preserve his children. Jesus knew how he was going to answer our prayer, just not the way we expected it. Right? True story, not a word of a lie. How has Jesus provided for you in your time of need? Has he provided for you in your time of need? How has he extended his providence of provision? Jesus knew there was this boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He was providentially in the place he was at the time he was with what he had for God's glory. Andrew expresses our same doubts. In situations that seem impossible, maybe even improbable to address, where are we to go? What are we going to do? We do not have the resources or the ability to meet this need. Well, Jesus, in a lot of cases, has already handled it. He already knows it exists. He wants to know if we will believe in him, trust him, and follow him. trust in his providence. So who was the boy with the fish and loaves? He was a nobody. Not anyone of significance, right? Much like us. We pack a lunch. We don't dine on filet mignon. No one looks upon us with regard or importance until God calls us forth for what we do offer, what we can give, what he needs exactly at that point, in that situation, and in that time. Are we available so Jesus can work a miracle through what he has given us to bring to the table? Amen? We have to offer ourselves so that he can use us, our talents, our ability, our heart, our hope, and our love. Reverend Charles Spurgeon said this, "If all you have is very little, just that penny worth of loaves and fishes, use that properly and you will do your master service. Even if that which you bring is thought of to be of little significance, God can make it into significance. Jesus fed 5,000 people plus. How much more can he or will he do with what we bring? The strategy of the devil is to get us to think that what you have to offer is of little help or will make little difference. So why even bother? That's why many believers today are powerless and standing on the sidelines in the battle for the souls of the world. What difference can I make? Bring what little fish and loaves we have, and Jesus will provide the banquet. Take note of the boy's heart. He gave what he had. They did not have to poke and prod the boy to give his fish and loaves. He simply offered them. The boy was not selfish. He could have kept it for himself. After all, it was his. He probably earned it. He probably needed it for the day ahead. Like we said, he probably planned ahead. He had all the right to keep the fish and loaves for himself, but he gave all he had. And what happened? He received back more than he could ever have imagined, and others also benefited from his unselfishness. Anything that you and I take away from ourselves and give to Christ will be well invested, often bringing back an abundance beyond our imaginations, right? Not every person receives the same reward, but an unselfish person will receive such rewards that one cannot fathom as they serve Christ and his purposes. Again, Reverend Charles Spurgeon, stay not to number your deficiencies. Bring what you have and let all that you are, body, soul, and spirit, be associated with Christ. Be all in. So the question is this. When I serve Christ, do I hold on to what I give? Or is it an open hand? When I give myself to Christ, am I his property? When the boy gave the loaves and fish to Jesus, they were now his, and Jesus took possession of them. They were not on loan. They were Jesus to make do with them as he saw fit, not as the boy saw fit. How many times do we put restrictions on the use of our gifts for Christ? How much more could be accomplished if we simply gave and did as he desires? What a multiplication could be accomplished. Have we truly put our loaves and fishes into his hands? Our knowledge, our ability, our talents, our influence, our position, our resources, and our hands. What we give, Jesus will accept because he took the loaves and fishes from the boy. He didn't refuse them. He took them. There will always be a need for the service, gifts, and talents of God's servants. There will never be a lack of need, but never, if we should cower, Jesus will provide from the little with plenty. Even if we cower, Jesus will provide from the little with plenty. Did you know that Jesus loves us not for what we are, but for what he will yet make us? Not for what we are, but who we will become, what he will make us. Jesus blesses our service, gifts, and talents not because of their worth, but because of his power to make them worthy. Charles Spurgeon. Jesus blessed the boy's gifts and multiplied those gifts of the fish and loaves for the benefit of everyone. Are we miserly with the gifts Jesus has given to us? Who are we blessing with what Jesus has given to us? Are we blessing people with our voices, our heads, and our hearts? Notice that after the fish and loaves were given, accepted, and blessed by Christ, then the increase came. The increase didn't come until that all happened. We do not serve and give because of the promised outcome or the profit at the end of the day. We should serve and give because we love Jesus and want his will. When this is our mindset, our attitude, Jesus will bring the increase. When we give of ourselves, expect Jesus to distribute what we give. And if you're hearing about money, you're missing the point. Because I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about service, talent, ability, resources. Everything. Question. If you can believe that Jesus can feed 50, can you believe he can feed 5,000? 5 million? 500 million if he pleases him. What amount of belief do we have? Is Jesus the bread of life or not? Right? John 6:35, this is the first instance of the first I am statements that Jesus makes on his way to the cross. And he says, what? I am the bread of life. Jesus told them, no one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. Who else provided bread to the people? Moses. Right? He prayed and asked for bread, and God sent them bread as they were in the wilderness. Right? Manna? From heaven? What is this strange stuff? Right? And now we have another instance. The recollection probably goes back to Deuteronomy. In the word, 18:15 says this, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. Verses 18:19, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. Who is talking about here? Moses? I'm going to raise someone up like Moses in the days to come who will be like a prophet, but more than a prophet. He'll be the Messiah. And he's going to provide you bread like you've never experienced before. Right? Jesus removes misery and provides life. The people's misery was removed because a boy unselfishly gave what he had to the Lord. He provided the water. Jesus turned it into wine. Am I willing to give what I have and am so that Jesus can turn it into wine and bring glory to himself? Is Jesus Christ a prophet? Yes. Then let us make him king. Amen? Make him king. Do we recognize, as the people did, the incredible sign of his divinity? A prophet like Moses, but more than just a prophet, very God, raised up to provide salvation for his people and the world. Am I willing to trust in Jesus' providential work and offer my loaves and fishes, no matter how little or insignificant they might seem to be, for his glory? There will always be more results than we can imagine. Amen. Amen.